What's going on, you sperm burping gutter humpers? Band. Welcome to Grunspeak, not so.
Live from the lair!
I'm Bleep Glop, that's Floop-de-doo. Welcome to the show. We got a story for you today that kind of got lost in the annals of email hell.
Yep.
It came in December from a gentleman who goes by Stag, and it's titled Police Shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Tales of pranks from the thin blue line.
Well, so basically when I was young, I played all kinds of pranks on the cops. Who knew they decided to do it back? That's awesome.
Who knew? Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can't imagine why a bunch of people who routinely carry around sidearms and tasers would ever prank each other. Shooting each other in the balls.
Well, all right, hang on. When I was a kid, the cops, and I lived in Oak Park, the cops came to my house like once a week. It drove my mother fucking crazy. And well, it was because of pranks, fighting, stuff like that.
Well, it's nice to be able to set your clock by something.
And I remember that these two cops come to the house, and there's this one female cop. This is back in like the mid to late 70s, and she's standing there, and they have the revolvers back then. And I remember I'm standing next to her, and they're like, "You did this, you did that." I look at this female cop, and I go, "You have really nice bullets."
Giggity.
She tried not to laugh, and she started blushing. Yeah, and like, you can see her. She had a male partner, and he gets that little. And she's like, "Oh, I have to go. I think we heard something on the radio. I have to go back to the squad car."
It is the 70s after all.
Yeah. Because, you know, I thought she was fairly attractive, but I was just, I think it was like 8. I didn't really know how to work it out. So I'm like, yeah. You know, officer, you really have some nice bullets.
Bullets.
But hey, what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do?
Yeah, you just got to be careful of what lies beneath, if you know what I mean. It was the 70s, and everybody had shag carpet.
Yeah, I mean, I still got my my weekly ass whipping because the cops came, got grounded for a week. Or it's usual shit.
I mean, it wouldn't be a Monday if you weren't getting your ass beat for having the cops come by.
Yeah, and this is back in the day when, you know, you're supposed to get spanked. And I'm telling you right now, I earned and deserved every single one of them. And I am not bitter about it at all.
Well, you know, as long as you could do your best to curb the, what is it called?
Emotional damage.
Yeah, I love that.
Because if you get to 18 without a complex, your parents fucked up.
Yeah, they're not doing their job. I mean, you literally get to 18, you need to have some type of phobia or complex, or they fucked up.
Or all the above. Do you like stories about serial killers? What about psychics? How about a psychic serial killer with a conscience wiping out the filth of society?
Yeah!
If you thought Dexter was a great show that went soft in its final seasons, these are the books for you. Introducing The Jericho Files, written by an old infantry grunt who has seen evil firsthand, and digested it into grade-A gore porn with 5-star reviews all around. Click on the link tree in the Meat Gazer box and buy your copies today on Amazon, you filthy, dirty riggers. But let's give this story a go here from Mr. Stag, Tales from the Thin Blue Line. Longtime listener and former cop from a small city in Wyoming. I'll keep my name redacted, but back in the day when I was a cop, we played pranks on each other to kill the boredom when we didn't have calls to take. Which was rare, as in my agency we averaged at the time, 196,000 calls for service per year.
Wow.
Oil and gas were booming, so there was that. Anyway, my partner, Officer Redacted, was proud of these new shatterproof police Oakleys that he purchased from Gall's Police Supply. Never ever put proof in the title of anything, unless you want people who have way too much free time on their hands to put that theory to the test.
Or you want to draw in an evil genius.
You evil genius.
Such as yourself.
Yes.
Think around $250, he says, for these glasses. Well, we often played pranks on each other. Our sergeant played pranks. Our platoon was often known as the prank squad. We were in the squad room in our cubicles, typing reports, shooting spit wads back and forth, tossing paper clips over the walls, stupid guy stuff, your tax dollars at work, people of Wyoming.
Well, the thing is, that's common behavior. It's like when I was in the military, we'd get bored. I would do all kinds of practical jokes on other soldiers, and they would get me back. I mean, that's just the way it worked.
Yeah.
And you can't get mad about it.
No, no.
No.
Dude, did you just dunk your dick in my Snapple?
Gay!
Actually, it's like the straightest thing you can do. As long as you're messing with somebody and it's not not for kinky purposes, you're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, homo suspicion points waived in those circumstances. Yeah. My sergeant leaves, goes out to the squad room and is gone for a few, comes back, and my partner's phone rings. My partner answers it, and it's the dispatcher informing him that he has to go down to the basement to see our lieutenant. So he gets up, locks his computer, heads first to dispatch, then to the basement. My phone rings, I answer it, and it's my lieutenant. I hear, "Is the other retard gone?"
I like it.
That's a thinly veiled insult within an insult. I approve. 8 out of 10. I ask if he's referring to redacted. He responds in the affirmative. He gives me a code word to say to my Sarge, so I say it. Lieutenant hangs up, and Sarge leaps into action. I watch him snag my partner's Oakleys, run to his cubby on the wall, and snag a roll of duct tape. This can only end well.
Yes.
Curious, I get up and follow him to the table in the center of the squad room. My sergeant informs me to turn off the ceiling fans. I, of course, follow his orders because I know what's going to happen. He tells me to grab the dispatcher and then lock the squad room doors, and I comply. The chief and captain had just left for a meeting, so we weren't going to have any interruptions from the brass, and our detectives were too busy circle-jerking each other upstairs to give a damn about us lowly patrol piglets. Conditions were perfect for some morale boosting.
Well, I'm telling you, the practical joke thing really helps teach people lessons, and I'll explain some at the end of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You learn where you are in the food chain of things when you can appreciate a good practical joke. My sergeant proceeds to set up a ladder and get to work. We had limited time. Briefing for the next platoon would start in less than 10 minutes. Add in that it was my sergeant's wife's platoon, she being the lieutenant of that one. So my sergeant hands me the tape and tells me to start pulling strips while he positions the arm of the glasses. The two of us get to work, him holding and me wrapping. We finish just as the first officer of that platoon calls 41 and then 19. We put away supplies, unlock the door, and tell the officer entering to keep his mouth shut when redacted enters. My sergeant's wife enters, looks at the two of us smirking at the briefing table. Not supposed to just get poker face, man, poker face. A curious look crosses her face as she takes a seat with her officers. Then she sees it, a strange flash of light bouncing off the walls. She looks at the now rotating ceiling fan, impromptu disco ball, and laughs. We inform her and the platoon to keep quiet. And they comply.
Of course, everyone wants to see a good practical joke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's just, it's all in good fun. As long as nobody gets hurt, we're all for it. Seconds later, my partner and our lieutenant enter. They take their seats, and the three of us, lieutenant, sergeant, and myself, nod. Briefing begins. My lieutenant reads the call log, dispatch adding things, pass along intel on the meth heads we're watching, etc. This goes on until my partner gets this confused look on his face.
Yeah?
I can't imagine why. Briefing pauses as my partner says, "What in the fuck is..." Then he notices that his glasses... spinning at about the speed of a brisk walk. Now, my partner's maybe 5'6". My lieutenant's 5'11". Myself, 6'7".
Wow.
Yeah, to try to hide in a parking lot if you can. And our sergeant, 5'9". We watch as my partner gets up, tugs his pants and belt up calmly, crosses the room. He grabs the step stool we had used and on the table with it. Then he pulls it up and sets on the table. Proceeding to climb up, he starts this bunny hop jump thing. Realizing he won't be able to reach his glasses, he pulled out his ASP, collapsible baton.
Yep, yep.
And snaps it open like he's Gamora snapping open her sword in the MCU. He proceeds to swing away at his glasses as the step stool wobbles on the table. Well, as luck would have it, he connects. Pieces of expensive police Oakley shower the squad room. The stool falls and he flies through the air and slides into said female lieutenant's chest. Mortified, he looks at her. Female lieutenant smirks and says, "I'm a married woman. You can't motorboat me when my husband's 5 feet away."
That's pretty good.
The squad room erupts in laughter, including her husband. They aren't even that big and my vest hides them. Mind you, she's a pretty decent looking redhead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, just give it time. My partner, now embarrassed, starts to get flustered. Lieutenant pushes her seat out and he face plants in her crotch. The room gets louder.
All right.
Woo. Well, maybe, you know, you play your cards right, she might hog tie you to a radiator with the chain of command.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Containing her laughter, female lieutenant looks to her husband and says, "I think he's trying to take your job." Our sergeant falls to the floor laughing. My partner looks at her and then us, face red with embarrassment. She looks to her husband and in this mock haughty tone, "Aren't you going to defend my honor?" Winking to her husband exaggeratedly, she laughs. Her husband struggles to take his taser out, only to flag his wife between fits of laughter. My partner scrambles to his knees and leaps from the table like a deer leaping barbed wire and races from the squad room. just take it on the chin, dude.
Yeah, they got you, man.
Don't run away.
The best way, every time I took a really wicked practical joke, I'm like, all right, you fucking got me. Flawless victory.
Flawless victory. First round's on me.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
For weeks after, he couldn't look the female lieutenant or our sergeant in the face. Well, he was too busy looking at three other things, because you got the left one and the right one.
He gets caught in the Bermuda Triangle.
My lieutenant and I would often walk in with her husband and say things like, "Hey, Redacted, heard Redacted's opening a new taco shop on the side."
Little hot sauce, extra cheese, and some lettuce on that bad boy, you got yourself a 10 taco.
Nice.
Her husband would nod and grin, adding, "My wife's tacos are the best."
Nice.
My partner would storm out of the cubicle and leave his computer open for even more shenanigans.
Oh.
Never get so emotional that you leave your computer open.
Yeah.
For months, we found pieces of the glasses on tables, file cabinets, and the like, and would place them in his cubby as reminders.
Nice.
We even asked the cleaning crews to do the same.
Wow.
That's going the extra mile right there. This is kind of in like Charlie Chief Kickapitch territory now in terms of just torment and psychological warfare.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is when you extend a practical joke like this, it's usually because people don't like you.
Yeah.
And they want to fuck with you.
Well, he's definitely...
It's one thing for like a practical joke. Maybe you can keep it going for a couple days. But if it's the constant reminder,
yeah,
that you're fucking with that guy because he's a dick or an asshole. Or both.
Or both. Or it was just that damn funny.
Yeah, you can always have the chain of command that's exceedingly cruel.
Yeah.
I've seen that a couple times, but it's actually fairly rare.
Yeah, because this was almost like a comedy of errors. Just
yeah.
One thing after another happening. As you know, the practical joke was just the cherry on the shit sundae.
Yeah.
"My wife's tacos are the best." Oh, man.
That's funny.
His torment went on until we found a new target. This ought to be good. A cop who came to our department after being fired from another for excessive use of taser and was placed in our platoon.
Ooh, so the new guy fuck with.
Literally shocking.
Yeah. We always fuck with the new guy.
Oh, you have to. New fish. You gotta
I mean, we did it to platoon sergeants. New sergeant shows up. You're getting fucked with, bro. Sorry.
He says, I have plenty more, from things we did to my partner to things that happened to me. Let me know if you want to hear more shenanigans from the Thin Blue Line. I think that's a resounding yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. This is good shit here.
Some good stuff. I think you might have already sent one in, but we're a long ways off from getting to that one, since I went through my email and did this backlog of stories, because we don't want to miss anything. You guys take the time to write up, you know, stories like this that I can actually read and are mostly grammatically correct. I appreciate it, and we appreciate all your stories.
Yeah, and actually, I move them over to the paranormal file, or if they talk directly about an apparition or a ghost, I move it to the ghost file.
Yeah. So what's you got any good military pranks you can share before we sign off?
Yeah, like I said before, I used to use the prank thing to teach soldiers a lesson.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, we used to have to do a lot of that online training horse shit, like Sharp and what have you. And I would take my company down in shifts and run them through the computer lab so they can knock out all that useless horse shit before the end of drill. Now, a lot of these guys would take their ID card. You have to stick it into a slot in the computer, put in your four-digit PIN. Then you can use the computer because it recognizes you as a military member. And we had a problem with soldiers leaving their ID cards down there. And it got to the point where our battalion commander, Dina, was going to start giving these guys Article 15s for just having a mental snafu. Well, I didn't want to see guys get lose rank and have negative shit put in their file just because they forgot some stuff. This isn't like in the zipper. This is standard nipper, you know, okay. Just regular computer stuff. If it happened in the zipper, that's a different story. But I only had to deal with a couple of situations like that. So the woman who runs the computer lab, I go down, I talk to her, and I say, hey, look, after the shifts leave and they come through, I want you to inspect all the bays, see if there's any ID cards left behind. If they are, just let me know and don't take it up the chain. I'll deal with it at my level. And over the next 2 months, I had probably 11, maybe two dozen people leave their ID cards. And what I would do is I would have one of my other NCOs. I would hand the ID cards to him. And I'd like, go to the end of the turnaround point at the 2 mile PT test and wait there, and I'll let you know when the games begin. So they'd all come to me like, I lost my ID card. Am I going to get an Article 15? Just sit down over here. So when I get everyone that forgot their ID cards, I'd like, all right, let's go downstairs, change into your tennis shoes. Okay. Well, how old are you? Well, according to the PT table, you've got 17 minutes and 36 seconds to run to the turnaround point where your PT card is located, or your ID card is located, and make it back in here in time, and I won't run it up the chain. So these guys look on their faces like, what? I'm like, hey, all right, hang on, let me put my I care face on. All right, I'm done. Go fucking run, motherfucker. So I make these dudes run the PT test in uniform with PT, with their, you know, tennis shoes on, that's it. And even if they missed the time, which a few did, I still didn't run up the chain because, you know, the frustration and the pain. And after I did that for a couple months, the ID card forgetting went to zero.
Nice.
And nobody had to get an Article 15. There was just some sweat and pain and maybe some bad feelings. I don't care.
And we love reading these stories because, yeah, you know, even when we're not teaching, you know, valuable lessons ourselves, at the very least we can give you guys a laugh. And if you don't like that, you can kiss my ass.
Yeah. And also, I want to thank the supporters for yesterday, which was Sunday, for helping out with this information. I am basically wanted a list of cunt moves and catfishing, and they delivered in spades.
Heck yeah.
It's going to be a funny episode once I put this all together, and usually takes place every Sunday. Become a supporter, and you two can get on it, in on some of the planning in the background.
Heck yeah. Yeah, we appreciate everything that you guys do. Every dollar you donate to the show helps keep us independent from our big tech overlords. And sooner or later, let's be honest, we're going to be completely independent from them because they're probably going to kick us off the site.
Probably. Or go out of business.
That too. Either way, subscribe on Rumble or MGTOW.TV or Odyssey or any of the other channels that we have. They're all available in the link tree in the Meat Gazer box. And we'll see you in the next one.